Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning into the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow, and they call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. As we travel the world from past, present, and future stars, and coming to you live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Good today. Very good, Aaron. Thank you. And, yeah, I had a little bit of a cold yesterday, but beat that down pretty good, so I'm good to go, you know, and we're happy. And everybody talk some boxing, got some good fights happening tonight.
Hey, you've been catching the cold draft up there flying around the world, Bob.
Well, you know, it's that classic, you know, it's 62 degrees, then it's 28 degrees, then it's 49, then it's 10, you know, it's just up and down. So that's it, you know, you just get a lot of different, you know, temperatures and you get a cold, so that's good. It's only a cold.
Yeah. And look, Bob, you know, we hate to start our show off like this, but we do it to wish condolences to people that have passed. Butch Blaisberg, who was the president and founder of the Florida Boxing Hall of Fame, he passed last week. So we send our deepest condolences out to the family, the Florida Boxing Hall of Fame, and may the Lord heal you in time. And please forgive Butch of all his sins and let him enter into heaven, bro.
Yeah.
Good man, a good boxing guy. And we hate to see our friends, family, and go through this past, but where you find death, you find life. And where you find death, you find life, and then there's life again. So we just I ask the Lord to strengthen the family in the boxing community that mourn his loss. And also, Bob, over in the Ukraine, we have the Klitschko brothers in Usyk. They're being hit by Russian forces in the military over there, and they went and armed up to join the Ukrainian military there. And we ask the Lord to protect those and the children and families and these champions that are in harm's way. Peace is the answer. You can't solve nothing by war, Bob, but peace is always the solution.
Right, yeah. And, you know, Klitschko, Vitaly Klitschko is the mayor of Kiev, too. And, you know, of course, they're undergoing the tragedy of war right now. But those guys put out a statement saying, you know, that they're going to fight for their country. And also, as we go around the world, we're going to talk about Viktor Postko, too. He's another Ukrainian. He's fighting a big fight tonight, too.
Yeah. And
he's going to go back after the fight to his family in Ukraine. He has a young twins. And his wife and the rest of his family there, too. So we'll see what happens there, too.
Yeah, and also, Bob, you know, I've trained a lot of Ukrainians, the Ukrainian government at one time. You know, in different countries, they have, like, sports ministers and stuff.
Right.
So the sports minister for the Ukraine bring a whole bunch of Ukrainian fighters to Don King's training camp. For me to train. And those guys they were champions over there in their country. And they came over and they worked with me at King's training camp, the historical training camp, as we're calling it today. And may all of them, because there was a lot of them, God protect them from being in harm's way. And their families as they go through this rough period of time. It's all about the greedy and not the needy, Bob.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You know, there's tons of money, they got tons of oil, but you know, when greedy people get involved, these are the things that they revert to. Peace is always the answer.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know. And it's hopefully this thing will resolve itself soon before it drags on and becomes something even more terrible than it is already.
Yeah, because, man, you're looking at some tough things, Bob. This could really blow up to something major or even a third world war around the world. And that's how this is how it all starts, you know, Hitler and all of that. When he got pissed off the things that he did, that still people are affected today by the action of something what perceived when he first started out as small, and it escalated into something major. And we just hope that this, whatever's going on, is that it's resolved.
Right. Oh, yeah. Soon, too.
Yeah, soon. Yeah, well, Bob, so what do we got?
We'll get back to it here. We got some good stuff that was happening today. We're going to start out today over in Glasgow, Scotland, UK. It's going to be on ESPN Plus and Sky TV. It's a big title fight with Josh Taylor, the Tartan Tornado. He's 18-0, 13 knockouts. He's defending his four belts, WBA Super World, WBC IBF, and WBO World Super Lightweight titles, against the unbeaten challenger Jack Catterall, 26-0 with 13 knockouts. Also on the card is Robeson Ramirez, 8-1 versus Eric Donovan, 14-1 in a featherweight showdown. And the 4-0 Nick Campbell and Jay McFarlane, 12-5, both seek the vacant 3BFC Scottish area heavyweight strap. Middleweight's Gideon Oniani steps in with Berman Sanchez in the topper in Purfleet, Essex, while in Watford, the cruiserweight clash between Anis Taj and Ovidiu Anache tops the card there. Liverpool will host the contest for the open WBC International Silver Super Flyweight belt between Marcel Braithwaite, 11-3, and the 10-5-1, Scott Allen. Female featherweights close the show in Newcastle as Jordan Barker steps in with Karina Smallenberg. In Birmingham, it will be Sam Gilley, 13-1, and Drew Brown, 12-0, fighting for the vacant Triple BFC English Super Welterweight crown. Leeds host the Callum Simpson, 5-0, versus Michael Osunza, 11-2, light heavyweight attraction. Milan Prat, 13-0, and Bodan Shatanda, 7-0, meet for the open IBF Youth Super Welterweight title in the headliner from Nantes, France. Talavera de la Reina in Castilla La Mancha, Spain, ends their night with the light heavyweight matchup between Adam Trinado and Kelly Figueroa, while in Estepania, Andalusia, hosted Ion versus Ruben Garcia in a super featherweight showdown. Barcelona hosts the featherweight confrontation between 13-0-1 Cristobal Llorente and Ricardo Martinez, 7-5. Landau in Rheinland-Pfalz, Germany, hosts the battle for the open WBU German version European super welterweight crown between David Kirkman and Sabri Ulas Gulekman. Also in Hamburg, they host the heavyweight meeting of Ihor Shevardzinski, who's 9-0, and the 35-18-1, Kevin Johnson. Welterweights Marco Filippi and Morgan Tasselli meet up in Rome, Italy. Riga Latvia shines the spotlight on a 2-0 super lightweight Maxime Takhachev. Ivan Petrov squares up with Mihail Dutenko in the super lightweight feature in Chisinau, Moldova. And Adijan, Uzbekistan, will see the super welterweight Ulubek Sobarov and Brian Damian Chavez slug it out in the main event there. We have two venues in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. First at the Marina is Guillermo Rigondeaux, 20-2, 13 knockouts, facing Vincent Astrolabio, who's 16-3 with 12 knockouts, for the open WBC International bantamweight strap. And at the golf club, welterweights Faizan Anwar and Yamin Khan meet up. Down in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, the middleweight matchup of Meshack Mwakyembe and Sammy Moloko is the highlight there. Catherine Fury, 16-4, takes on Kudavarvashe Sijuande, 4-2-1 for the WBC Interim World Female Super Bantamweight Crown in the closer from Lusaka, Zambia. Welterweight Kambulani Mateshe and Liban Nashani topped the card in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa, and about rescheduled from last week. They headed down over the Atlantic now to Higui in Dominican Republic, with a super welterweight contest of Ismael Villarreal, 10-0, and a 19-4 Juan Medina. Sao Paulo, Brazil, ends their night with the Douglas Pereira de Moraes versus Francisco Neves Valentin fight for the country's vacant super middleweight strap. And El Tigre in Venezuela hosts the clash with the open WBA featherball bantamweight belt between Leonardo Guzman, 11-1, 6 knockouts, and a 7-0 with 5 KOs, Darwin Natera. Tyson Sports TV will be in San Lorenzo, Santa Fe, Argentina for the co-main events with Mara Moneo, 8-1, fighting Stefania Karen Alaniz, 5-5-1 for the WBA Fedelatin female lightweight crown. And Abraham Gabriel Juan Origo clashes with Juan Gabriel Rizzo Patron for the South American super middleweight strap. Channel 9, they'll broadcast from Caseros, Buenos Aires, for the welterweight showdown between Luis Gastón Montiel and Victoriano Antonio Santillán. Tyrese Cormier, 5-0, and Fidel Castro, 6-2, face off for the vacant WBC youth silver featherweight title in the finale in Reynosa, Mexico. Debuting super featherweights go at it in the finale from Quintaro when Enrique Bordolia takes on Fernando Gomez in an entire card of debuting fighters, both male and female, going on there. And Zupongo tops their card with the Armando Maurice Silva versus Hector Osorio Morales super welterweight attraction. And Salamanca features the featherweight clash between Brian Montenegro Velasquez and Omar Grandos Fiardo. Neza Rival Coelho will feature the Rene Calisto Bibiano, 16-06 knockouts versus Rogelio Romero Garcia, who's 14-5 with 7 KOs. And that bout is for the open WBA Federcentro Super Flyweight crown. We have two venues in Tijuana. First at the Municipal Auditorium, Bantamweights Eros Correa and Christian Valente Espinosa top the card. And in Rosarito, it's welterweight Anil Diaz Guerrero versus Antonio Mendez doing the battle there. Up in the USA, 14-0 welterweight Saul Busto. He crosses the road for Martin Martinez Perez in the feature from Pomona, California. Showtime, they'll be in Las Vegas, where Erwin Ancaias, 33-1-2, 22 knockouts, defends his IBF World Super Flyweight title against the unbeaten challenger Fernando Martinez, who's 13-0 with 8 knockouts. In the co-main event, we'll see unbeaten super featherweights Chris Colbert, 16-0, 6 knockouts, and Hector Luis Garcia, 14-0 with 10 KOs, duking it out there. And also on the telecast, Gary Antoine Russell, he's 14-0, all of those wins by the knockout, steps in against Victor Postol, who we talked about earlier. He's the Ukrainian. He's 31-3 with 12 KOs, and that's a super lightweight battle. San Antonio, Texas, headlines with the co-main events of Floyd Schofield, 8-0, versus Julio Sanchez, 5-5-1, and that's for the open ADF Continental America's lightweight strap, as well as the female lightweight tussle between Calliope Curuni, who's 11-3, and Simone De Silva, comes in with a record of 17-18. Lightweights end the show in Grove, Oklahoma, where James Roach steps in with Luis Galaviz. And in Memphis, Tennessee, they close the curtains after the D'Angelo Leekman versus Lamont Capers cruiserweight clash. Atlanta, Georgia spotlights 12-1, Money Powell IV, trading punches with Fidel Munoz, 39-27-1, while in Augusta, undefeated the Marius driver, 11-0, clashes with the 32-5 Juan Carlos Pena. Orlando, Florida hosts the bout with a vacant IBO, USBO, lightweight belt between Joseph Adorno, 14-0, and the 14-1, Iron Alvarez. Light heavyweight Robert McGee, 5-0-2, showcased in Arnold, Missouri, and in Rock Hill, South Carolina, the middleweight clash of Michael Engler, 13-3-1, and Josh Hammock, 9-10, fills the bill there. The 2300 Arena in Philadelphia features the Ray Robinson, 24-3-2, versus Silverio Ortiz, 37-28. Ortiz is a late substitution, just got on board a couple days ago, and he'll be stepping in to fight this super welterweight contest there in Philly. In Framingham, Massachusetts, Manny Woods and Larry Smith duke it out in the super middleweight finale. And up north in Brampton, Ontario, Canada, Sukhdeep Singh Bhatti, 9-0, versus Jordan Balmier, 11-1, for the country's open middleweight belt. And 6-0, Mark Smither and Paul Ispas, 4-0-3, fight for the country's vacant super lightweight crown. Surfers Paradise in Queensland, Australia, is the site for the battle to determine the Australia-Queensland state super middleweight title between Brent Moore and Deese McDonald. General Santos City in the Philippines hosts a flyweight fight between the 15-1 Esnet Domingo and the 20-4 Jesse Espinas. And in Bangkok, Thailand, Pong Safan Panyokum, 12-1, steps in against Adrian Larasan, 10-4 for the WBC ABC super flyweight title. And also of note, tomorrow, Sunday, Lawrence Okoli, 17-0, 14 knockouts, fights Michael Cizlak, 21-1, 15 KOs for the WBO World Cruiserweight title on the zone from the O2 Arena in London. There we go. 22 countries, that's up, man. We still keep growing and growing, and we're seeing lots of fights happening around the world, and 22 countries is pretty good right now with what we've got going on.
Yeah, absolutely. What we got going on, it's is boxing, man, with a lot of great events coming on. There's been some announcements, to my understanding, about Canelo Alvarez.
yeah, he linked back up with Eddie Hearn in Match Room. So once again, we're going to see what happens. But right now we're looking at Canelo Alvarez versus Dmitry Bivol. That's going to be one of the light heavyweights. And it's going to be May 7th, Las Vegas. And the prices came out on the zone. It's going to be $59.99 if you have a subscription, or $79.99 if you don't. And then also announced this week, too, we're going to have Canelo versus Triple G, Part 3, on September 17th. And let's talk also, we have Fury and White. That's going to be Wembley. That's definitely finalized for the April 23rd event, Wembley Stadium, Tyson Fury, Dillon White. And so two big pieces of news there, too. And how about that, what happened yesterday, Josh Taylor and Jack Catterall, they're going after each other's throats, all that kind of stuff, too. That's going to be a good fight tonight. You know, we talked about Josh Taylor, you know, at the beginning of the year when we were going through the pound for pound. I think we had him at number 4 or 5 or something like that. But,
yeah,
you know, definitely a good chance to see Josh Taylor in action tonight against a good opponent in Catterall.
Yeah, hey, look, Josh Taylor's biting at the bit for the claim and fame over there in England. You know, Anthony Joshua, the big boys, the heavyweights, you know, they got Dillon White. You know, they have some big names in the heavyweight in England. But Josh Taylor, you know, he's undisputed champion. And, you know, he's biting at the bit to take it all over to be king of the kingdom over there in England, as he looks to be not only just undisputed in boxing, but also with popularity over there in England. Hats off to him. We've seen him as he was merging into the star that he has become in boxing. And it's good to see guys that we put our finger on early when they would just rise and say, this guy is going to be something. And he turns out to be that something that we talked about. It shows that here on the World Boxing Review, we got keen eyesight. We got the eagle eyes. We always keep the eyes on the sparrow of the guys that we think that are going to be boxing major stars. That's why we talk to even young people, Bob, that are just starting in the boxing. We try to pinpoint them young, and then see them escalate in the stars. And that's something special.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a good fight. And, again, everything you said is true. Josh Taylor, we saw him coming up and, you know, unifying all the belts and getting a shot today. So, good fight. And also, don't stop forget about Ancaius is fighting in Vegas tonight, too, against Martinez. That's going to be for the super featherweight crown there, too, for the super fly, I mean, for IBF title there, too. So that's another big fight, too, with Ancaius and Martinez, two up-and-coming fighters as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. When you see those type of fights happening, shows boxing's back in gear, and you see back in Las Vegas to see a fight back there as different venues start to open up in Vegas for boxing. This fight with Martinez should be a nice fight for boxing fans to watch. You know, but Canelo Alvarez, speaking what you spoke on earlier about with Canelo Alvarez with this fight, as we said in the past, Bob, those Cinco de Mayo dates or Mexican independence holidays, which is September, May, where the Latinos, Mexicans, they like to come out and they like to see boxing. And with Canelo Alvarez, with a hero like he is in boxing, and he crosses across cultural lines. in his performance and him displaying what type of championship fighter he is as he moves and searches to keep him motivated in the sport to attack different titles, different fights. That keeps a guy up, keeps him motivated. You know, it's good to see him sticking to his word. He showed Matchroom Boxing and Eddie Hearns that he meant what he said, is that he wanted money, but not just money. He wanted to stay busy. And what happens, you know, as we're seeing, a lot of those things, they can't, you know, deflate the egos to get these big matches together to keep boxing going on. And if you don't, Canelo Alvarez wants out. And Canelo Alvarez goes on and fights and fights and fights and fights, much like Julio Cesar Chavez done, you know, in the past. You know, so when you keep your tools sharp, you keep them in the drawer nice and sharp, and you're practicing your trade, you're only going to get better and better, and you put on that performance. And look, this is what he's doing in these kind of fights. But, hey, look, Mavo is he's a champion too now. He got 10 title defenses who he's going up against.
Yeah. Yeah, Bivol's going to be a good one too. Well, you know, Canelo, again, you know, we talked again last year. He stayed busy, like you said, Alvarez did, man. Four fights, and everybody's fighting once, maybe twice, but he's out there every couple of months fighting. And again, mm-hmm. as you said, those Independence Days for Mexicans, the Cinco de Mayo, and the one in September. So, you know, he definitely is staying busy and just wants to improve his game. And he's stepping up again to the light heavyweight to take on a true champion in Bivol. So, you know, there was something to look forward to there, too, as well.
Yeah, it is. You know, Bivol is not a walk in the park with 10 title defenses. It looked like he's been practicing his trade and he's been winning. So, you know, it's not an easy fight. If you fail to prepare, you're going to prepare for failure. And in boxing on the championship level, there's no such thing as an easy fight, and especially when you're a star. Guys get up, guys train. Guys train harder because you got a name to try to knock you off your throne and fight a lot of times over their head because of who they're fighting. And that's why you have to be prepared in order to go in to fight the fight you need to fight and fight the fight that you need to win to move on. And you can't look too far ahead, and you can't count too much money ahead. You got to take one fight at a time. You know, if he don't get past this fight, a Triple G don't mean nothing. And
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the fight that he was supposed to fight, that his trainer lobbied the WBC about, you know, that fight, it ain't happening. I don't know what happened in that fight.
Right, with Makabu, yeah. Ilunga Makabu was supposed to fight him next, yeah, for that in that same slot, basically, the light heavyweight.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Bob. But look, Bob, you know, they're all aiming at going into the Hall of Fames and stuff like that, Canelo Alvarez and all of them. But, Bob, we have our next guest here. Without further ado, when it talks about people in Hall of Fames, our next guest, Bob Duffy, with the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame, it's not short. He's there. And he got a new class going in, the class of 2022. And welcome into the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Bob, how you doing? Bob Duffy?
Aaron,
Henry Hascop.
Aaron.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got our boxing historian, Henry Hascop. How you doing, Henry?
I'm doing good. Bob is going to be on pretty soon. He told me he was going to call, so he should be coming on. He wanted me to come on with him because there's actually 31.
Okay.
There's 31 inductees.
31 people going in.
Yeah.
Wow,
Yeah. Well, a lot of them are posthumous, you know. You know, New York is such a huge state, and we just wanted to put, you know, most of these people that have passed away, just give them their recognition, you know, so we can get, you know, we can recognize other people, you know, down the line, you know, because they all deserve to be in. I mean, a lot of these guys are in the International Boxing Hall of Fame already, and, you know, and it's been like 10 years, you know, since we had this New York State Hall of Fame, and, you know, we're trying to, you know, do what we can to put as many in as possible, you know, at this time. But, you know, Bob Duffy should
be on. Well, y'all do a great job. Y'all do a great job at doing that.
Yeah, well,
people don't know it's a hard process of getting names and taking those names, looking down the bios and trying to organize the thing to get the people in that when people vote to get them in and all of that. It's not an easy thing, and people have to understand.
You know, we have a committee. And I put together all the ballots, like, you know, all the people. Like, I have a list of everybody that was from New York that was ever rated in the top 10 in the world, you know. And the list is enormous, you know, and we're trying to go through all that stuff so we don't leave anybody out. Of course, before 1925, there was no ratings for Ring Magazine. So, you know, other guys, you know, like Nonpareil, Jack Dempsey, and Jack McAuliffe, and guys like that. They were world champions, but they were never rated. But I have them in also. You know, I have them on the ballot. Both of them have been inducted, like Kid Norfolk. He lived in New York. He's been inducted. You know, he fought, you know, quite a few times before 1925. Most of his career was before 1925. I think he retired in 1926. So we're trying to, you know, we're trying to do our thing there, you know, and, you know, so I put all the names down, then a committee goes over, you know, all the names. Like, we have a couple of categories. We have a living, and we have a posthumous fighters, then we have living and posthumous non-fighters. And, you know, we discuss it, you know, we go around the table, and we pick our, let's say, top 10. You know, everybody picks their top 10, you know, guys that they think, or women, they think should go in. And, you know, then we write all the names down, and then we start, you know, picking brains, you know, see, you know, then after that we kind of vote. Actually, we have two meetings, you know. First meeting is just to get it down to maybe 10 or 12 people, you know, and then the next meeting we try to get it down a little bit more in the category. And, you know, this year it was so many people that came up, and it was, you know, it was hard to break the ties on quite a few of them because they all had the same number at the end. So that's why we have like 31, you know, going in this year. So, you know, I mean, Bob Duffy does an outstanding job with both New York State Boxing Hall of Fame and also Ring 8. You know, I mean, this year, I mean, I think it was September we had New York State Boxing Hall of Fame that he ran. And then 2 months later or 3 months later in December, he ran the New York State, the Ring 8 Christmas party, which was outstanding this year. We had just about 400 people there. And now, you know, a couple of months later, now he's running New York State again because we were a year behind. We wanted to just catch up, you know, so... So he's been very, very busy, and like I said, he does an outstanding job, and I try to help him out as much as possible. But this is, you know, he's the head guy there, and like I said, I'm just a backup for him, you know.
Backup. Well, we got your backup, Henry. We got Bob Duffy on the phone, the president.
I didn't know he was on. I wouldn't have said so many good things, I figure.
Well,
hope you didn't hear me say all the bad ones, you know.
Well, so I don't have to worry because I got Henry batting fourth. As long as he's batting fourth, I'm fine, man, you know. I'm fine. Hi, Aaron. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing good, Bob. How are you doing? We want to welcome
you to
the World
Boxing
Radio.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, well, you got a big class, and what Henry was telling us a little bit about the process and all that. Man, 31 guys, that's a huge class. And first of all, I'd like to thank you for everything number one Ring 8 does, with helping boxers and, you know, give the needy and not the greedy, and spreading the love that people who really need help get the help that they need. Y'all do an excellent job at that for Ring 8. And also with the New York Boxing Hall of Fame, you know, it's a huge task with any type of Hall of Fame, but New York, which at one time was the mecca of boxing, and how do you fit all of that in the Hall of Fame as time goes on, man, is an absolute task. And we want to thank you for the job that you do, Bob, you and Henry.
Well, you know, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, they have their Hall of Fame. New Jersey got their Hall of Fame. And you know, the whole New York Hall of Fame was originally started like in 1989 when the guys from Ring 8, they were, you know, in the World Trade Center. I mean, the World Fair was in New York. And they wanted to use one of the buildings for a New York Hall of Fame, but it just never materialized. And then when I started, I figured when I became president, I wound up working on it. But, you know, the fact is that the Hall of Fame, I mean, we got guys, you know, all, from 1905 to today, I mean, there's so many guys. We just want to try to recognize guys. That's it, you know. And that's what we're trying to do, recognize guys, you know. And Henry's a big part because he's a true historian. And without the historians, like Jack Hirsch and Henry Haskip and, you know, Randy Gordon and, you know, Don Majeski and Bobby Cassidy. I mean, we'd be in limbo, man. We really would be. We got some good guys there, you know, honest guys, you know.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
You know, they don't have
an
agenda.
Well, Bob, tell us a little bit about your class. You know, we'll go down, if we can, we'll take you do five at a time and stop. We'll make some comments and do five at a time, stop, and we'll go till we get down to this whole list. We got 27 minutes. I think you can do that. I done seen you do it at your dinners and stuff like that. So come on, Bob. Come on down the list of those names, and we should be able to get them all in.
Well, you know, that's why Henry's on the other line, because he's going to have the harder group. I'm going to have the easy group, you know, because he knows them all, you know. You know, as far as the participants, you know, we got like Larry Vaughn, Michael Benn, Shannon Briggs, Donnie Lalonde, Johnny Vetevosa, Johnny Turner, and Verno Phillips. Now, that's seven. You know, normally we have five to six, but like Henry mentioned before when I overheard him, is that when I don't vote. The committee votes. I just monitor everything. I don't have the luxury of voting this year. I'm going to vote next year, but I haven't voted in the last 10 years. And, so they voted. And, you know, sometimes you get stuck on two guys. So instead of saying no to one, say yeah to both of them. You know, it makes life a little bit easier. You know, Larry Bonds, I mean, he fought for the title against Trinidad. I mean, he retired, I think, at 50-2, 50-3, which was an excellent record. I mean, no fear Bonds. Everybody loved him. Michael Bent was a former heavyweight champion of the world. Shannon Briggs, heavyweight champion of the world. Donnie Lalonde, light heavyweight champion of the world. Verno Phillips, a middleweight, a super middleweight champion of the world. And Johnny Turner and Johnny Vetevosa, these guys, they were 100%, you know, every fight. Fighting Wilfred Benito, fighting tough guys, Sean O'Grady. I mean, they fought tough guys. And, you know, it's not so much as that you have to be a world champion, but you have to be a participant. And some guys, when they went in that ring, maybe they weren't the best fighter in the division. Maybe they were. But you know what? They always gave 100%. And that's where our admiration comes, with the guys that gave 100%. You know, I mean, Michael Benn, for example, I'm so happy. I mean, he knocked out Tommy Morrison. He's been a good friend of mine for years. He's a former Golden Glove champion. You know, it's good guys. I mean, and it's really Shannon Briggs. I know 30 years. You know, so it's a lot of good guys. And you know, with Michael Phillips, he fought Bobby Nyakana, Jeffrey Nyakana. They fought tough guys, these guys. They didn't get three walks.
Well, Phillips, he knocked one of Aaron Snowell's fighters, you know, Julian Jackson. He knocked him out. Where he stopped him in the ninth round. He also beat
Julian Jackson, murderous puncher.
You know, Shannon Briggs, you say he was a former heavyweight champion of the world. He had more one-round knockouts than any other champion in boxing history. He had 37 one-round knockouts. And I think like three or four of them were maybe even five, were within 30 seconds. He was a monstrous puncher. I mean, and I like Johnny Turner because he was actually he played in Raging Bull and actually knocked down Robert De Niro, you know, in a training session. So he's one of my heroes, you know. And I remember Johnny the Heat or John the Heat Vettorosa. I remember him. You know, he fought this guy that was undefeated and at Ice World, and he knocked him out cold in the first round. Just in you know, a few seconds. I mean, you know, he was a murderous puncher. So as far as the living inductees, as far as fighters go this year, I mean, you know, we have an outstanding class like Larry Barnes. You know, he was rated number, you know, in the top 10 by Ring Magazine for a while. And you know, and like I said, Donnie, he was a former world champion. You know, he lost the title. You know, I mean, he lost to, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard, but, you know, not too many people beat Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, so.
I mean, he was a competitive fight because he put him down early in the fight.
Yeah, well, that class there, I mean, them seven people, I mean, they're outstanding. I mean, you know, I mean, New York did himself proud in the committee. I was glad to be on the committee that voted for these people. And like I said, Bob oversees everything. And just to make sure everything's all right, and of course he pays the bill at the end of the night, you know. so it's a good thing.
that always helps, right?
You
know the way things are going, man. The next benefit may be for me, you know.
I'm gonna tell you like a wise guy told me a long time ago. He said it's better to give than it is to receive, let me tell you.
This will be my 25th dinner at Russo's on the Bay, and I'm still walking around. So I'm all right.
After 20 years, did you get the menu memorized yet or what? Or they keep changing it on you?
What was that? I'm sorry.
The food menu, they change it have it memorized by heart?
Well, you know what? You get a choice of like five dishes, you know, and I mean, you get the brunch and you get, but like you've seen yourself. I mean, changing the menu, I mean, listen, I think things are done when they're left alone. Life is a lot easier when you leave things alone, Aaron, you know? Now, when someone complains that, you know what, I'm getting tired of the fish or I'm getting tired, all right, I'll give you a different fish. everything stays the same. Like that guy said in The Godfather, and the rent stays the same.
Slate of inductees. It's one of the hardest ones, posthumous, because we have so many people that are no longer with us that deserve to be in the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame. And we have like Al Singer. He was a former lightweight champion of the world. He's probably the only fighter that ever won a title like in the first round, and then he lost a title in the first round. And he beat Sammy Mandel in a first round knockout, then he lost to Tony Cancinieri, but he was a lightweight champion of the world at one time, and you know he was outstanding. Then you have Kid Norfolk, who was you know, the world's colored light heavyweight champion. You know, he never got a shot at any title. He does hold a win over Harry Greb, and he fought a lot of excellent fighters. You know, and you got Cannonball Martin, who was another, you know, world bantamweight champion. I mean, another outstanding fighter. Then you have Battling Siki, who was a light heavyweight champion of the world. You know, he beat, I believe it was Carpentier for the title. I mean, you know, so, you know, he was an excellent fighter. And then you have Sally Krieger, another, you know, middleweight, you know, champion of the world that's going in. I mean, most of these guys are just, you know, have Tommy Paul, who was a featherweight champion of the world. You have Luis Salica, who was a bantamweight champion and also won a bronze medal in the Olympic Games. And you have Herbie Kronowitz and Patsy Jubilanti. I think Bob can talk more about them than I can, you know. But these are another, like, bunch of outstanding fighters. I mean, you're not going to get much better. I mean, this is our 10th anniversary, and, you know, we're still putting world champions in. We're still putting guys that were inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame. That just shows you the slate that the New York has, you know, of nominees. I mean, you know, people say it's going to run out. Well, it's been 10 years, and we're still putting in these guys.
It ain't going to run out.
No.
I mean, you know, that's what me and Henry agree on. There's a couple of guys that disagree that, God, we're going to run out of names. I don't think we're going to run out of names. I don't think we'll ever run out of names. I think we'll run out of time on this planet before we run out of names.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, but the one guy is like, you know, Herbie Kronowitz, you know, I'm not too well-known on his professional career. That's why I say I don't vote, so I don't have to do the investigation. But he was a member of Ring 8 for years, and I think he was only in his first 40 fights.
Well, he finished with a record of 55-23, so he was a, you know, very good fighter. I mean, you know, he fought some outstanding fights during his career, you know, and so did Patsy. I mean, you know, they fought some of the best around. You know, like you said, to be a world champion, you know, you just got to put the effort in and be a decent fighter and fight some of the best and
exactly. You know, I don't know, Aaron. You know, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. I don't want to put myself out of things, but I want to show how human that we are. You know, some of these guys still got family around, and we like to try to, you know, when we have like somebody that's close. We like to, like, say to some of these old-timers that, you know, are dead 10, 20 years, but you get one or two that the children or the grandchildren, and they call up, and they make reference to somebody in their family that, you know, was a fighter, and, you know, they were a former champion or a contender. And, you know, that helps us make our decision because we want these people to recognize their family member. We recognize them, and it really means a lot to a lot of people to know, like we're doing Victor Valley. I'm jumping ahead. Now, there's a kid who's fighting named Joey Valley. That's his grandson. You'd think that,
yeah,
you know,
you find,
I mean,
a lot of that.
I mean, he can't wait because his grandfather's being honored. You know, and I believe the Kronowitz family, he has a daughter and a son. You know, so, you know, to them, it's a big thing that their dad or their grandfather is finally getting recognized.
See, that's one of the big
things. Well, Victor Valley was.
Yeah, that's one of the big things that we go by.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's one of the big things we go by, even in New Jersey. You know, you should have a family member there. Because let's say if I put in, Joe Blow, you know, this year, and then 4 years later, some guy comes up to me and he says, hey, you ever hear of my grandfather? His name was Joe Blow. And I said, oh, geez, you know, I should have waited. You know, we try to get in contact with family members, you know, before we put them in. If there is no family members, then we just put them in. But, you know, it's nice to, Bob said, it's nice to have, you know, a family member there. You know, if that's a criteria, you're down to the last maybe three or four people, and maybe two of them have family members still around the area. The other two we can't find. Guess who we're going to pick? You know, we could wait a year for the other two and try to locate their family. You know, that's the thing. You know, we try to put a smile on people's faces. And
exactly. Well, that's one of the reasons why we have Bob Trieger, and thanks to you, Aaron, we try to do some PR to get it out there because a lot of these fighters, like Krieger, I don't believe that's his last name. So, you know, when you put the guy's name in to get an award and you put it out there in the press, his family could be reading it and not know that that was a relative because they have a different last name. Not everybody spoke
right.
with their real last name. So it's
yeah,
hard,
well,
so that's
know,
why we keep sending.
We run into this with the show. And if you see me on social media, like I'm doing today, of posting different things about during this month, Black History Month. Now, all the Hall of Fames, they put in African-Americans all the time. But I get a lot of things during this month, Black History Month, to do such a thing. I said, look, man, there's so many great African-American fighters. It's unjust. So I said, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. And I said, it ain't to hurt nobody, it ain't to start no confusion. I said, I will put something up on social media to try to just make aware of the contributions and things that African Americans made to the sport to stop so many flooded inbox messages and all of that that I'm getting. So when you see me post that up about boxing, Black History Month, that's what it's all about. It's people like you're saying that send inbox messages, this and that, do something there. And I said, but the Boxing Hall of Fames, they do it all the time when they're inducting African American. No, make it special for this month. I said, okay, I'm gonna put something up, and it ain't a heavy detail. It's just some of the contributions that African Americans made, but it's so huge and so many, and no one's going to be able to
yes.
just really sit down and put it all in. So for this month, you know, Black History Month is fine, but I already said that the Hall of Fames, they do a great job at doing that. So, you know, I tell them to go look at those Hall of Fames. That's why we're here right now. The contributions. You have Hispanic, you got Black fighters, you're talking about white fighters, you know, right now that's being inducted into the New York Hall of Fame, and plus the past. You know, you just had Don King and all the other people that have been inducted in there. So it's only fair to, like I said, go look in the Hall of Fame, get to know them, and look down their list of inductees. And I said, you will be amazed at the contribution that these Hall of Fames do for African Americans by just inducting them. I said, and if you look to them, you'll find that the list is long, fine, but distinguished. And I wanted to say something, too, because an issue came up about Jackie Tawanda. You know, Ring 8, congratulate you, Bob, and Henry, is that y'all looked at different situations and y'all seen the right for women's rights. Y'all were some of the first ones to start identifying women and inducting them into the larger men's Hall of Fames and the larger things of nonprofit with women, and that's the hats off to your vision of equality. And people should never argue about y'all's contribution that y'all have for women's rights, because y'all did it. You know, it's a different story if you didn't do it, but y'all have done it in the past before all these issues have come up. So I want to thank you, Bob, and thank you, Henry, for your contribution for women's rights and all of that. And women fighters, you know, because they deserve to be in there, and y'all seen it just there.
Well, you know, there is women in New York that you know, are on the cusp of it, because we're only 10 years old, you know, and women's
mm-hmm.
boxing is only 20 years old in New York, you know. So
right.
we're just getting, like, the Kathy Collins and the Leona Brown. So we're getting a couple of these young ladies now that are at the cusp of getting in, you know, because it's been, like, 20 years, 25 years. You know, but women's boxing, when I was with the commission, only came prevalent like in 1990, 1993, you know, or 93, 94. That's when New York Boxing started with women, you know. So when you think about it, we're only doing 20 years, and the names that you see, these guys are 40, 50 years, you know. So, but the women that are going to hit that barrier and they're going to get in, you know. And we're not going to make a separate section for women boxing. It's going to be, you know, when like, for example, Kathy Collins, if she gets in next year, she'll be with the regular men. I mean, it'll be the one class. It wouldn't be a special tribute to women or nothing like that, you know. I mean, that's what we're
right. That's
forward
equality.
That's equality.
They go through the same
right.
process
yeah.
with the men, and if they
exactly.
if they're voted in, that's equality. That sure
you
is.
Know.
But look, how many more names we got? What you said you did seven. We got nine.
I did want to mention Patsy Giovanelli. He's the last guy. Patsy, I have a certain fondness. I only because I'm partial, I'm bringing him up. But Patsy Giovanelli, when I came on as an inspector, he taught me how to do the hand wraps, how, you know, to examine the hand wraps. He was my mentor when I was in the commission. So he was the first guy that really opened the door for me. And his record was like 50 and four. I don't know. Like he had 50 wins and seven losses, you know. But you know what was impressive about him? In 1941, he fought like eight times. Then he went into the service, fought in the Philippines for World War II, and then came out, and in 1945 went back to boxing, but he only had two or three years involved. But he also was the president of Ring 8 for 8 years, and he was an inspector with the New York State Boxing Commission for at least 10 years. So, you know, sometimes it's not just your body of work as a fighter. It's what you do for fighters, like yourself. Like you have many things. You do the historian with Jack Johnson. You have a first-class trainer, first-class motivator. You have a radio show. See, to me, you're qualified for a Hall of Fame because of your whole body of work. You know, you probably can get in on
anyone. We try to put
it
in.
But we put
in
people that...
Yeah, well, we try to do for the love of the sport like everybody does, you know. Hey,
exactly.
Like this, if you love boxing well enough, you're going to give a lot of time. You're going to spend a lot of money. It's just a love for the sport. I don't have to tell neither one of y'all. You put a lot of time in, you put a lot of money in the different things, you know. Hey, I know one thing, Ring 8, when a fighter when we came to Henry and knew that about was in need of something, y'all jumped right on it day one, say you'll have it. It was a matter of 3 hours. They had money and gave him a car and all that kind of stuff and money in his pocket. I mean, that was really, really something that y'all did, and continuously do something for him to keep some money with different fundraisers to show up to keep money in his pocket. Ring 8 is definitely a blessing in what the things that you do. I mean, it's over the top.
Well, thank you, Aaron. You know, unfortunately, the guys who need it, but where we come in, I think, good, too, is that when somebody needs something at 1 o'clock, we can have it on its way by 2 o'clock. You know,
right.
The response time doesn't have to be, well, I got to wait till tomorrow or I got to wait till next week. We had one guy that was stuck in Texas. I think I mentioned it. And I called a hotel up, and I dealt with the WBC, and I dealt with Mr. DiBella. And, you know, they all had things that they were doing to help this individual, but he needed the help right away. Their help was waiting for a call to come back, and I said, well, here's what we'll do, guys. I'll take care of this, and we do it right now, and I was able to do it within a half hour. And they took their ends, like Joe Diamond and DiBella, and they got their ends done, but it took them a couple hours because they had to wait for referral phone calls. So I think that's one of our luxuries in Ring 8 is that we can help somebody right away. You know?
Well, that's what these organizations are all about, like Ring 8, and even getting back to the women's rights. We actually do have women in our New York State Boxing Hall of Fame, but not as fighters. We have like Malvina Latham, Julie Letterman. This year we're putting in Jill Diamond. So we have put women in, but, you know, we haven't gotten around to putting the fighters in. But, you know, Kathy Collins is getting very close.
Yeah, and people, we want to want you to understand something. When people say, well, they don't make big note of it, of the names of fighters, it's not that. They're not doing it. No glory thing where this name is exposed. And trust and believe you me, the people that they have helped that were on struggling principles of life for food, clothing, and shelter, the list is well-noted champions that fell down on their hard luck. And we're trying to pick them up, not rag their name down through the mud and stuff when they're already down to say this and that. Now, there's some champions that helped that got up on their feet. They talk about it. God bless them. You know what I mean? But, you know, some are struggling and have been on top, have made millions and millions of dollars that fell on hard time and, you know, living in shelters and stuff like that, and they picked them up and got them on their feet, man. And
oh, yeah.
If they don't
we
talk
paid.
About it, the champions, that is.
Yeah, we paid for Rocky Lockridge's funeral. I mean, you know, and, you know, I mean, that's what we do. And God bless the guy you were talking about that we got a car for. He won't let anybody talk bad about Ring 8 or the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame or Bob Duffy or Henry Haskup. He'll get right on there. In fact, he was on a podcast not too long ago, and people were from another organization. They were downgrading our organization, and he says, "Whoa, whoa, wait a minute!" You know, and he set them straight. I mean, he was
a
two-time
heavyweight
champion.
He was a true ambassador.
Yeah,
he was a true ambassador.
Yeah, I told him, you know, I don't want to mention your name. He says, "Henry, mention it. I have no shame." So I'm going to tell you his name. His name is Tim Witherspoon. And he is one of the classiest. I mean, he called me up. He can't, every time he sees me, he thanks me, you know, for what we did. You know, Ring 8, the Hall of New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame. You know, he says, nobody else was there. I got a car out of it. I got my insurance paid. I got myself back on my feet because of you guys. And you sent me a check. I sent a personal check of mine, and I got the money back from these organizations, most of it anyway. And, you know, that's what we're all about. You know, we have to help those who need help. I mean, guys like, let's say, Irene Barkley and Junior Jones and Mark Breland, they could sit at a VFW or at a hotel and sign gloves for maybe 2 or 3 hours and make maybe even $1,000 or so. You know, other guys that were fighting, let's say, 10 rounds, 8 rounds, that aren't known, they can't do that. You know, they can't sit and sign gloves.
Well,
so
Henry,
they need our help.
We got a minute and 30 seconds. I don't mean to cut you off. We got a minute and 30 seconds.
I'll go real fast. We have Jill Diamond going in. We have Mike Silver going in.
Don Elbaum. Well, I didn't know he was a professional fighter. He was 0-4, but he was involved in. I have a number here that's outstanding. He did like 129 promotions, and he matchmade over 200
fights. We got 60 seconds.
You know,
60 seconds, time and place and date.
All right, we got
to
give.
Well, if you
want
to know who's inducted, just go on the Ring 8 website. Or the New York State Hall of Fame website. All the names are on there.
Yeah.
So
New York,
go on the New York
Boxing, Boxing,
HOF. Okay, if they want to make a donation to Ring 8 or something like that, where do they go?
They can mail it to me at 1112 Whitewood Landing, Massapequa, Massapequa Park, Park, New York, 11762. And make the check out to Ring 8, and we'll send them a receipt.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank you. Thank you for Henry Haskopp, our boxing historian, for coming on, back on the show today for the New York State, Bob Duffy, for the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame. It's been great. Bob, what time flies by when you're having fun, right?
How about that? There
well,
we go. Yeah.
God bless you, and thank you for everything.
This is great, yes.
You've been a real inspiration for us, man. Real help. Thank you.
And congratulations to all the inductees that are going in the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And our ring radio aficionado takes us all around the world, Bob Murray, and our boxing historian, Henry Haskopp. Thank you, man. And thank you, Bob Duffy, for coming
Take
on
care,
the World
guys.
Boxing
thank
Review
you.
Radio Show.
All right. All right. It's a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Bye.
All right.